Let's pray. Our dear Father, this is the day that you have made and we rejoice as your children. Oh Lord, thank you for reminding us in a very special way that your Son and our Savior is indeed alive. Help us, Lord, to stand behind his cross. Even as I speak, Lord, open our minds and hearts so that we will behold wondrous things in your law. Fill our hearts, speak to our need, minister to us, Lord. Without you, we can do nothing. In your Son's name, we pray and ask. Amen. Amen. Consider two points, A and B. What is the shortest distance between, the best route between two points? Some people would say it's a straight line, while others may say that it's a zigzag. In theory, the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. But in reality, the shortest distance between two points is not always a straight line. In God's scheme of things, the best route between two points in our life's journey is not always a straight line. God sometimes takes us through a zigzag route as the best way to reach our destination, his place of blessing. That's what happens in reality. But why and how does that happen? In other words, why does God take us that way? And how does he help us along the way? That's what I would like to share with you today. The story of God's people, as narrated by Moses in the book of Exodus, tells us about this. The people of Israel who have been in Egypt for more than 400 years, they were brought there by God specifically in order to flourish. And they did flourish. They multiplied. In fact, it was like Eden for them. But then, those of their relatives who are in places of power, in due time passed away. And then, very powerful, oppressive kings came into play. And then they entered into bondage. A place of blessing became a place of slavery. And then they cried out to God. In Exodus chapter 12, verses 40 to 41, Moses tells the story of how God now was preparing a way for them to leave. And it says like this: Now the sojourn of the children of Israel who lived in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, on that very same day, it came to pass that all the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. This was the day of the Passover. And the Lord was now going to take them from what had become a place of oppression to a place of blessing. And then verse 13 of Exodus, chapter 13 verse 17 says, And then it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. As they prepared to leave, God did not take them through the shortest route. Let me explain. They were in the land of Goshen. They can easily reach their destination by a straight journey. That was the best route for them. But chapter 13 verse 17 says that the Lord did not lead them by that route. Why? Verse 17 goes on to say, "For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt." God purposely did not take his people through the shortest route to the promised land, since that would lead them straight into the hands of the Philistines, who are mighty warriors. God knew how weak these people were at that point of time. And for 400 years he had observed them and found that they were really not ready. He purposely did not take his people through the shortest route, since that would lead them into war with the Philistines, who were mighty warriors. God knew how weak they were. They were just not ready to face war. Fighting against the Philistines would result in their sure defeat and return to Egypt. That straight route would actually hinder their goal. What am I trying to say here? I'm trying to answer the question, why does God sometimes take us through a zigzag route to the place of our greatest blessing? And the reason is because God sometimes does not take us through the shortest route because it would lead to disaster. What looks like the easier route in certain situations, my brothers and sisters, can end up in disappointment and defeat. When you look back in your personal lives, or as a church, or as a family, have there been times when what you found was the easiest and the shortest route to even spiritual goals backfired? I have. If you ask my parents, they'll say, surely, all of us would have reached a point, says, oh, that's quite easy. But suddenly, things turn upside down. That's true. And that's why it's in the scriptures. But when God does the leading, there's a benefit. He knows us. He knows that we are frail and weak. And he knows the landscape. And so for our good, what does he do? What did he do for the Israelites in this case? Instead of the straight route, God chose to take Israel on a zigzag route to their destination. That was the grace of God and the mercy of God. Because he wanted them to reach their destination. And he wanted them to do it strong, rejoicing, and to enjoy it. But for that he had to take a detour. Then the children of Israel journeyed from a place called Ramesses to Sukkoth. Exodus chapter 12 verse 37. So God led the people. In verse 18 it continues to say, God led the people around by way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks. They're using army language here. Though they were all shepherds and farmers, God sees them as armies. Went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. And so, instead of taking them straight, because they were frail, and because God knew and God wanted them to reach their destination successfully, he took them on a route that goes down from Ramesses. I think that's what the name of Goshen became later, by the time, you know, this was put together, and took them to Sukkot. And then from Sukkot, the journey continues all the way to a place called Etam. And so, verses 20 to 22, it reads, "And so they took their journey from Sukkot and they camped in Etam at the edge of the wilderness." The wilderness is this. That's another term for a desert where there is no civilized life. And camped in Etam at the edge of the wilderness. That was a long detour with a lot of turnings. And then verse 20 to 22 says, "And then the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people." It seems so evident, but it's like emphasizing the fact. But here's the point I want to make. It's that when they reached the border of the wilderness, no man's land, when they entered into uncharted territory, when they left civilized, livable place, that is when the Shekinah of the Lord comes. That's when God's visible presence appears to guide them as a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud. By taking the zigzag route meant that they were helpless and without a navigator. Without a guide, they would be utterly lost. God's guiding presence came just when they needed it. That's the timing of the Lord. And so what are we trying to answer here? How does God help us along the way? When God takes us through a zigzag route in life, He reminds us of His presence and guides us in tangible ways, in ways we can see and feel, because that's what we need when we are in uncharted territory. Have you experienced that, my brothers and sisters? How does God remind us, or has reminded you, of His presence when you have come, when you know that, no, this is not the route that I am familiar with? He can send messengers of comfort. There are numerous times in my life when I just didn't know what to do, and the Lord sends, like angels, the divine word. Specific prophecies catered to you. Signs, provisions and providence. This is not just true for Israel. You can see it down through the scriptures. Elijah, Elisha, Hagar, you name it. The Lord, when we are in that wilderness, provides tangible evidence of His real presence and guides us on what to do next. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, in Exodus chapter 14, as the journey continues, in Exodus chapter 14, verses 1 to 3, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, opposite Baal Zephon. You shall camp before it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land. The wilderness has closed them in." The Lord gave his guiding presence. He took them to the edge of the wilderness. But then the Lord sees ahead of that. And he says, I want you to now go beside the sea. From Etham, have you noticed, they can just go up through the wilderness. And they can avoid the sea. But the Lord made them, because of what the Lord foresaw, he made them take a detour and come next to the sea. That is, how do you put it? In human terms, foolish. Because that will put them in not a vulnerable position, but an even more vulnerable position. Why? The Egyptians decided to pursue them. Things were getting from bad to worse. All the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, overtook them, camping by the sea, beside Pi-Hahiroth and before Baal-Zephon. Exodus chapter 14, 9-10. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And so they were afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. The wilderness was bad enough, but this was worse. This was not just a zigzag route. This was getting from bad to worse from a human point of view. Verse 14, verses 19 to 20. And the angel of God, who went before the camp of Israel, the pillar, the Shekinah, moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. It was like that pillar, that Shekinah, that was in front of them, then the sea, the armies are behind. When the armies came, that pillar moved behind Israel and in front of the Egyptian armies. But there's a duality here. It's almost like the fire and the cloud is switching. It was like the fire during the night and the cloud during the day. But when this thing moved, suddenly the half that faced Egypt was fire. But the half that faced Israel was. And so it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And thus it was a cloud and darkness to one, and it gave light by night to the other. I'm sorry, it is the other way around. So that one did not come near the other all night. A repeat of what happened in Goshen was happening at the beach of the Red Sea. In Goshen, when the plagues were falling, there was something protecting the people of Israel so that the plagues only affected Egypt. And now what's happening? That cloud was positioned in such a way that the Egyptians could not come near God's people. Then Moses stretched out his hand. All this was based on the specific instructions of the Lord. Exodus 14, verses 21 to 23. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. And so the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. That's a miracle. But why am I sharing this? when God takes us through a zigzag route to our destination, He can lead us into situations from which only He can deliver. Because only then will we be fully free from what can hinder our blessing. When God takes us through this zigzag route, He is in charge. But He can bring us to the end of our rope, the end of our rope, until we let go. Because only when we let go will the Lord come in. And only He can do it at that time. And only He has to do it, because the enemy is very powerful. And unless the Lord does it in that way, not only will He not get the glory, we really will not be delivered from the enemy. And so the Lord is actually doing this not to make us desperate, but to fully remove all the hindrances so that we will reach that place of blessing. Today we are celebrating the resurrection, but I just want to say that the Lord made it in such a way that was the final solution and the ultimate solution from what was hindering Israel at that time from experiencing the covenant blessings. There was no other way. The disciples had reached the end of their rope. He had to die that way. That was the Lord's way of parting the sea for them. That was their spiritual exodus. The deliverance was what we celebrate today, His resurrection. When God takes us through a zigzag route, He can lead us into situations from which only He can deliver, and He should deliver. Because only then will we be fully free from the enemy, what hinders our blessing. Reaching the end of our ropes is God's need. Because it's God's need, and it is His glory to take us from the point of our bondage, from the point of our brokenness, to the point where He can bless us and we can enjoy His blessings. Looking only to God to save us will bring us lasting blessing. And so the Lord did it. He did the impossible. And that's exactly what happened on Resurrection Day. No one was expecting that the waters of death will part and life can come through what kills. No one was expecting. But the Lord did it for His glory. And Moses took the bones, and we go on. I just want to come back to something that happened at the beginning of the journey, because that gives us one more truth about why the Lord does this, or how the Lord helps us. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him when they began the journey, in Exodus chapter 13 verse 19. For he had placed the children of Israel, who? Joseph. In Genesis chapter 50, before Joseph dies, he tells them, the Lord will visit you, take my bones with you, and I want you to bury it in the promised land. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had placed the children of Israel under solemn oath, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here with you. On the day of the Passover, the day after the Passover, when they were leaving, Moses made sure that the people of Israel took Joseph's bones with them. Why did Moses make the Israelites take Joseph's bones with them when they began the journey? Suddenly, as they are describing that they are leaving, suddenly in verse 19, this statement comes up. And so it leaves us wondering why. Why was that so important? The bones were the evidence of God's promise that they would reach the promised land. It was also the tangible expression of their hope that God would keep his promise. It was by divine revelation that Joseph was convinced God will visit, and it was not, I'm sure he would, it would have been handed down through the by oral word, the oath that Abraham made, received in Genesis 15, where God had promised that they would do this, and Joseph was sure that God will visit them, and so they took that bone, the bones with him. But it was the expression of their hope and God's reminder that I will take you and you will reach your destination. No matter how tedious their route was, no matter how winding their route was, God would see to it that they reached safely. And so we would go ahead into Joshua's time, and they have come. But towards the end, they make this statement in Joshua chapter 24, verse 32. The bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel had brought up out of Egypt, they buried at Shechem in the plot of ground which Jacob had bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and which had become an inheritance of the children of Joseph. Joshua chapter 24, verse 32. The writer made sure to say that they took the bones and they buried it in Joseph's inheritance. The journey began with Joseph's bones being taken from Egypt, and that burial in Canaan marked that God had fulfilled his promise. When God takes us through a zigzag route in life, he gives us tangible reminders of his promise that we will reach the destination safely. He gives us tangible evidence of the promise that we will reach our destination safely. Long back, once I was called to teach it a camp in Bangalore. This is an old time, long forgotten. That was the first time I was going to this seminar. It was a new place, new people. They had asked me to take a session for a particular topic. I prayed about it. But last minute, they told me to change the topic. For some reason, and anyway, things, I changed it, and it didn't go as well as I had hoped. It was a uniquely discouraging time when I looked at it, because of how I could see on the faces how they responded. I'm not sure up to this day why, but there are few who get back to me and saying that was one of the best camps we have attended. But I was quite discouraged that day. It took 3 days, and me and another speaker were there. I said this for a reason. The Lord was working in my life. There was a transition, and there were many things happening where, you know, the Lord was speaking to me. But as I was, it was a big campus. It was in the outskirts of Bangalore. And I was just walking out of the campus at the end of all. And as I was leaving just the main gate of that campus, it's a huge campus, I just looked down and I saw something very familiar which fell out of my bag the beginning of the camp. I didn't know that it fell out. It was a paper cutter. And I know it because it's my, I'm the only one I think that had it. I was just randomly walking out, about to leave, and then I just looked down and I'm seeing this paper cutter here. I says, when did this fall? And how come my eyes fell on that? And then I just, nobody knows it except me, okay, and the Lord. And I just took it and I kept it back exactly where. But I, till this day, I don't know how it fell and how come after 3 days, just before I left. But then the Lord spoke to me at that moment and says, what you lost, I'll give back. I didn't know the journey after that. Many years passed, lots of ups and downs. But for me, that was a simple reminder that we will reach the destination and He will give back, nothing will be lost. Today is a day that we celebrate the Lord's resurrection. That's the promise that we will reach the destination. That's such a solace to know that Jesus of Nazareth is alive today. And then He gives the Holy Spirit 50 days from now in time. The Lord will give us reminders after reminders that He will take us. He will give that deposit and that seal and that promise that we will reach that destination. And we will stand before Him without flaw. He will do that because He's taking us through a process. And we will be joyous, and we will not only we will reach the destination, but we will be spiritually ready to enjoy what He has taken. He will do that, believe me. If He is willing to work with the Israelites, then how much more with us? Let me just end with one point which I don't have in the PowerPoint. I was debating whether to say it or not, but I think the Lord wants me to say this. When they reached the promised land, Moses sent out 12 spies. 10 of them come back and say, we are not going to do what the Lord says. But 2 of them says, we can and we will because the Lord is with us. Why didn't Joshua and Caleb, the 2, immediately not enter the promised land? They could have. Why did they choose to go with the rest and take another long zigzag journey? And here is why I think it is, and I get that from the book of Hebrews, the idea. That's because the Shekinah, the presence of the Lord, was with the tabernacle and with Israel, even in their failure. Joshua and Caleb could have entered and enjoyed the blessing, but they chose to remain with the presence of the Lord and the brokenness of the people. So that when the people entered with the Shekinah, they will enter too. The point here is this. They wanted to remain in the presence of God with the brokenness and of the people. In the book of Hebrews, what the writer is exhorting his hearers is saying that the presence of God is not no more in the temple. It's outside the temple, outside the walls. It's in a cursed place, in an unholy place. It's at the cross. The Lord has chosen to move the Shekinah from the Holy of Holies of Jerusalem's temple to the outside. If you now want to be blessed, don't go to the temple. Go to the outside where the cross is. Because that is where the presence of God is. That's where the blessing is. The system will not save you. God has given up on the system. The curtain has been torn. The Shekinah now is at the foot of the cross. He who has ears, let him hear. Joshua and Caleb could enjoy the blessings of the land immediately, but they chose to remain with the presence of God and the people of God. And the Hebrew writer says, now the presence of God, the Shekinah, is with the sun. And today the sun has risen. And so the question I want to ask and answer is this. Why does God choose to take us on a zigzag route and not the straight route? That's because He knows that at certain points of time we are not ready. And that's why He takes us through the zigzag route, so that we will reach the destination. But in His higher wisdom, He takes us to the point where we are absolutely helpless. And we can do nothing unless God intervenes. He did, He does, and He will continue to. And as we go on our way, the Lord will give us tangible expressions of His presence. He will guide us. And He will remind us that He will fulfill His promise. May the Lord bless us with these words. Brother Ranjit, could you please close in prayer?
പല സിക്സാക് വഴികളിലും കർത്താവ് ഞങ്ങളെ കടന്നു വരുന്ന കർത്താവേ, അന്ധകാരത്തിൽ നേരിട്ട് നിന്ന് അത്ഭുത പ്രകാശത്തിലേക്ക് അങ്ങ് ഞങ്ങളെ വിളിച്ചു വേർതിരിച്ചതിനായി സ്തോത്രം കർത്താവേ. മക്കളെ കർത്താവേ, അങ്ങ് നടത്തിയ വഴികൾ, അങ്ങ് കൊണ്ടുപോയ ഇതെല്ലാം ഞങ്ങൾ വായിച്ച് കർത്താവേ, ഞങ്ങളുടെ ജീവിതത്തിലേക്ക് ഞങ്ങൾ തിരിഞ്ഞു നോക്കുമ്പോൾ കർത്താവേ, നന്ദിയല്ലാതെ ഒന്നും ഞങ്ങളുടെ ജീവിതത്തിലില്ല കർത്താവേ. ഞങ്ങളെ മഹത്വപ്പെടുത്തുന്നു കർത്താവേ. കർത്താവേ, ഞങ്ങൾക്ക് വേണ്ടി അങ്ങ് തകർക്കപ്പെട്ട കർത്താവ് അങ്ങ് ഒഴുകി ചാലുപോലെ അടികൊണ്ട് കർത്താവേ, അങ്ങയുടെ ശരീരം ക്രൂശിൽ തകർക്കപ്പെട്ടു. ഞങ്ങളുടെ സിക്സാക് ജീവിതത്തിൽ നിന്ന് കർത്താവേ, അങ്ങനെ തിരിച്ചറിയുവാൻ ലഭിച്ചിരിക്കുന്ന ഭാഗ്യത്തിനായി സ്തുതിക്കുന്നു, സ്തോത്രം ചെയ്യുന്നു. ദൈവമേ, വചനം ഞങ്ങളുടെ ഉള്ളിൽ ക്രിയ ചെയ്യുന്നതിനായി സ്തോത്രം. സർവേഷ് കർത്താവിന്റെ ബഹുമാനത്തിൽ അർപ്പിക്കുന്നു.